Hello there, everyone. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by Adrian and Matt for another Healthy Stream episode. As a fair warning, we will spoil this week's movie in our review, so if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out and come back to this later. Let's get streaming! What's going on?
Hey.
We all got PTSD.
Great quote by that movie. That's my favorite part.
It's a great part.
Yep. That was a great part. My favorite part, to be specific.
Well, not my favorite, but we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. What's going on with you guys? How's it been? It's been a little while. We had a week off there.
Took a vacation in the Bahamas, you know, with all the fucking money we're stacking from this shit.
Jamaica. Ooh, I wanted to take you.
Ooh, go on, pretty mama.
Bermuda.
Bahama? Ooh. Come on, baby mama. Anything new? Anything interesting going on?
It's still hot as the fucking Dickens outside. I'll tell you that right now.
It is hot as the Dickens, yeah.
Yeah, where are we on your demon's ball sack or whatever you're talking about last week?
Right at the taint.
Yeah, we're up to like upper scrotum right now. When it comes to heat, it is not looking good.
Traveled up the scrot.
Yep, scroto baggins.
It is fucking hot. I don't know. I did notice that in this week's movie. I saw that them walking around in Vietnam and I was like, hey, this is like 4D. I'm like watching this movie, like sweating my ass off. Like I'm in the jungles of Vietnam. This is pretty fucking
like
good.
My balls smell like Vietnam right now. This is fucking
5D.
Whoa. Yeah.
There's like a fucking tropical rainforest in my pants. Humidity level.
It was cool to see a movie about travel. It made me think about some of my traveling and vacations and stuff I want to do, which, you know, obviously right now, people aren't doing a lot of that, but seeing this made me think of traveling. You guys have any funny stories about traveling out of the country?
Well, I've only really been to outside the country. I've been to Mexico, which everybody here has been to Mexico. When you're 18, that's where you go, living where we live.
From Southern California, right.
Yeah, yep. So you just jump the border, 18 years old, to go down there and strip clubs and all that. And I had a shady sort of buddy at the time. He's still my buddy. I just don't see him as much. Yeah. I'm not going to name his name, but he's a good guy.
A shady character.
Anyway, he's speak Spanish. What is the word? What's the
translator.
Word? Translator. Yeah, he's our translator.
Amigo. Going down
there. Amigo. Yeah, so anyway, we're going down there fucking around. We're going down there every other week or so. And we go down there this one time. And we end up getting, you know, hammered at a bar and a strip club and coming back across the classic. You don't pee on the streets in Mexico. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah, of course.
You don't do it. Except for him. He did it. I didn't even see it happen. But when I turned around, he's sitting there talking to three cops down there. And they're talking in Spanish, so I have no idea what they're saying. And then next thing you know, they're turning him around, handcuffing him. He yells over to me. He goes, Matt, call my mom. I'll be out in 20 minutes.
I'm like, what?
What? I don't even know your mom's number. Like, I don't know your mom.
Just start dialing,
which
bro.
I did. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. But so we says, and we're like, oh, fuck. You know, now what? So we end up taking off the little group of people we're with. Like, oh, dude, now what do we do? This guy's busted down there. He's screwed, you know. And then so we go back. We end up walking across the border, get across the border and go walk to the car. And someone had his house number. So we're calling his house number. And his mom doesn't speak a lick of English at all. So we're trying to tell her, like, your son's in jail. Mexico. You know, trying to get it a point across. Dude, sure enough, this motherfucker was out in 20 minutes. He just comes walking up outside the parking lot. I don't know how he did it.
Who are you guys talking to?
You're not calling my mom, are you?
Yeah. I was just joking about that.
I was just joking, yeah. No, anyway, and that's probably the one that sticks out to me anyway. But yeah, that guy's a crazy fucker. That was a great time.
Hell yeah. I'm sure we all have lots of stories about those trips to Mexico, underage drinking,
mm-mm,
all kinds of good times.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's not underage in Mexico. It's underage drinking. Perfectly legal. Yeah. No crimes were committed in Mexico.
Besides peeing on the street.
Yeah, which that's real fucked up. He should have been jailed for that, you know?
I don't know if you've been to TJ, but that's, I mean, he might have cleansed it a bit.
They might have drinking that water as like runoff into the Tijuana River.
Power washing.
Sterilized.
It was a community service. No offense to anyone, obviously.
Well, I have a story from north of the border. I went to Canada a couple years back. My wife and I, we went up to Glacier National Park in Montana and decided to drive up into Canada and have a good time. So we end up renting a car and we get to the Canadian border and I get there and I see the speed limit's fucking 100. I'm like, hell yeah, motherfucker.
Open her up, baby.
Here I go. Oh. And then I realize.
A little KM by that?
Yeah, then I realize there's a little KM and I'm actually going slower than I would have been miles per hour. So that sucked. And
what Canada's kind of rental car were you in?
Oh, this was a Kia.
Okay, so you weren't hitting that 100 anyway.
No, it was a small Kia SUV. I forget the model. But there's
Taiwanese muscle car.
So, you know, there's construction every 20 feet in Canada. So you can't even speed if you want to, because you have to stop. They're just constantly tearing that place down and building it back up. Sorry, Canadians, but you know it's fucking true. You know that shit's true.
It's like L.A.?
Yeah. The traffic's not as bad. But I got up there, ate some delicious poutine, French fries and gravy, and we called it a day, man. And that's it. That's it for me.
How about you, Wes?
Yeah, I have a story. So actually, when we went on a trip, my wife and I, when we first were getting together, I got this through work. We ended up taking 2 weeks to go travel throughout Europe. And our first stop on the trip was Italy. And we tried to tell ourselves, okay, we're going to stay awake, because we left San Diego at probably 8 a.m. And I think by the time you get over there, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, even though you just traveled, you know, 20 hours. The time difference just really throws you off. It should be like nighttime, your time, like let's go to bed, but you're trying to get on their clock. So we told ourselves to stay awake until it gets night over here. We'll wake up. We'll be on their clock. Well, that didn't happen. We got to the hotel room. We laid down. We passed out immediately. Woke up at like 8 or 9 o'clock. But then we were all stoked. Like, all right, let's go check this city out. Like, we're here. Let's go do it. So we decided to walk the streets. We found ourselves at the Trevi Fountain. If you know, it's a really famous fountain in Rome. And when you get there, it's all lit up. It was great. It was our first experience in Europe. It was our first experience with street vendors. We had one of those guys come up to us. And he just would not leave us alone. We're trying to take pictures by the fountain. We're trying to like just enjoy it. And this dude is all up on my wife, just giving her he had these things of roses, and he's just putting it on her. Here,
I don't think that was a street vendor, man.
Yeah, a bellissimo.
Yeah. Well, he was aggressive, and he just kept handing us the rose. No money, no money. Hey, no money. He just handed me the no money. No, sir, dude. No, thanks. No, thanks. No money. No money. No money. After about like 20, 30 minutes of this, I finally go, all right, no money. No money. He's like, no, no money. No money. No money. I'm like, all right, fine. Cool. Thanks. Immediately after I take that thing, he looks at me. He goes, some money. It was the most basic, but crafty sales trick.
Yeah. Well, did you pay him?
We gave him a couple, at this point we didn't have any money, cause we didn't have time to exchange or anything when we were in Rome. So we had like a couple, euros or something that we just had from whatever. And so we just like gave him what we had, and he kind of was pissed off at our gesture and took off, gave us a bad review on Yelp or whatever he did.
Oh, but
he was
damn pissed. Yeah. Your star rating just dropped.
Yeah. As a trend, it was
event. They give me no money.
After one star.
I told them clearly, they give me some money.
So that was one of the most memorable, especially it was our first stop there. It was a good night, but that was pretty funny. That's a good little intro to our movie this week,
The Five Bloods.
Yeah,
it's my pick. Spike Lee movie, Spike Lee joint.
Yes, it's a joint.
And a clear cut of the tensions going on in the world right now, maybe very relevant.
fitting.
So, yeah, Wes, why don't you go ahead and D-O-D?
I will D my D.
For the people at home, D-ing D's means defending decisions, which Wes will do. He won't. It would, will not involve dicks.
I was about to do something else. I'll put that away.
It will not involve dicks.
I chose this movie because the last
Spike only did you force you choose this, you force fed it. You fed it to us forcefully.
I did.
You force fed your D to us.
Yeah. Yes, I want this noted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, make sure this one gets through. We don't want another debacle.
I'll tell you why I force fed you my D. So the last Spike Lee movie I watched, I really liked. I saw The Black Klansman, gosh, probably 2 years ago, 1 year ago. I can't remember when it came out, but I stayed up late one night and watched it, and I liked it. And so I was like, oh, that was cool. I had Adam Driver. Good movie. And so I haven't seen anything else from him previously. This was another, as you guys know, I like those straight to Netflix kind of releases from big directors and big actors. So I thought, well, let's check this one out. There was a little bit of buzz on it from Netflix when it came out. So there you go. I said, let's jump on the grenade and check this one out.
Not to mention you had a free force feed that I gave you from a floundered gamble.
Yep. I plan to earn the rest of my force feeds that way.
Are we allowed to borrow force feeds to gamble with?
Yeah, but I'm going to need that back.
I get it back for you. There's no way I'm not going to lose this time.
I've heard that before, man. I've heard that before.
With interest.
Yeah, there's going to be interest.
We're going to start doing like math, like calculators and shit. Like, well, you owe me 10% of a force feed, which then doubled because you hit the grace period.
Just the tip. Yeah. And you didn't pay by the end of the month, so it automatically kicked up to 17.5%. So I'm going to need a lot of force feedback.
So that was my decision, guys. How did you feel about the movie?
Well, the biggest thing for me was it was too long. Yeah. I think that it was just too long for what they were doing. I get it. They're telling their story and going through it, but there was just a lot of unneeded dialogue, I thought, through the whole thing. It was a lot of filler. You know, the story itself is not bad. You know, and the characters were good. I think the dialogue itself was a little weird. I think the acting was as good as it could be to the dialogue. The dialogue is what held the acting back almost. It's like there's some parts, what I said at the beginning, like, we all got PTSD. That's a weird thing to write for a movie. It's just like a strange setting for someone in that group to shout that out. Like it's all proper. Like, I don't know. That's just weird to me. But, you know, just the dialogue between them, weird. I didn't think that this script was written very well. And then the best part is the special effects and some of the shootout scenes were pretty funny. Like they were like B horror movie scenes where the guy steps on the thing and he gets blown up and he's like, blows all his arms and legs off and he's a torso and he's laying on the ground and he's like, and he's still alive, like with it, like, oh no, I'm dying. His arms and legs are blown off and he's like sitting there and people, how bad is it? Like this is pretty far out there, you know, but it made it funny to me because I was like watching, I had a good chuckle at it. So stuff like that, you know, the overall thing, it was just too long to get through. It was entertaining enough, but just a little bit too long and too long winded for me.
I agree with a lot of that. Adrian, how'd you feel?
I am taking the other stance on this. I actually really liked the movie and I feel like a lot of the things that you're saying, I feel like that's what kind of made it cool for me because it made it feel like these are like some fucked up people because I've talked to some vets before and they are fucking saying weird shit constantly. Not all of them, but the ones who are like really messed up with like,
did something happen with your dog?
Look, I don't want to talk about my dog.
Oh, vets.
No. I don't want to talk about the dog. It's very traumatic. But back to the Vietnam vets. I really thought it kind of encapsulated the struggle that they had with being on the front lines fighting, loving their like country, but also like knowing they were just sent there because fucking they needed someone on the front line that they didn't really care about, and their constant struggle with that. I don't know. I thought the dialogue was weird, but I think it was kind of necessary for it to be weird.
I get what Matt's saying. There was like a couple of times there was lines or something that seemed like they were feeding. Like there was one line where he's talking to the French guy. They were calling him the Roach, I think, mm-hmm. right? Like the guy that was going to help get the gold over to, and he was like, yeah. "Hey, man, you know, World War II, we came in and saved your ass." And it just
very deliberate. Yeah, very deliberate, and like
it seemed like something that somebody wouldn't really say to somebody's face, or also that he kind of explained it, where the guy would be like, "I know what you're talking about," like World War II. Because when did this movie take place? Like this was, is this modern day?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it must have been, right? Because there was.
By the way, they age excellent, because they were the same looking in all the war scenes as they were in modern day.
I think that was done on purpose.
Fantastic.
It was done on purpose.
Yeah, I think
that was done on purpose. I don't know.
You think that was an oversight by the director?
They cut the budget.
I think that was done on purpose to like.
No, it clearly was. Yeah, it clearly was.
Yeah.
Picturing themselves there. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. I actually like that better almost than, you know, where they
put some other actor in there or something like that. Or that,
or when Scorsese tried to do the de-age De Niro and Pesci and
I guess you're right.
Like, but there was some scenes in that where like De Niro looks like he's like trying to kick a mice out of his kitchen or something, and he's beating on a guy. It's like
he's all slow,
really, yeah, slow
and buckles.
Super odd that he's supposed to be a 30-year-old man and he can't lift his leg higher than his leg.
Yeah, you know? You want more? Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But you take a movie like Looper. Looper did it fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that was CGI, wasn't it?
Well, had to have been, right?
Didn't they have three separate actors playing him in Looper? For each age.
Bruce Willis?
Well, yeah, they put it over Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face.
And then the other guy.
Right?
Yeah.
They like CGI'd over his face or did some fantastic makeup. Because they like, looked
close
work.
Enough yeah. or something.
I don't remember that at all.
They used the face.
I thought they were just three separate actors. And then
I only saw that movie once, but I never watched
it. I think this is going to take a rewatch to confirm or deny this.
I like Force feed. I'll watch it. I liked it.
Yeah,
I just never watched it again because when there's like movies with time and twists and stuff, I always feel like I already know what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I like that movie. I would have to watch that one again.
Anyway, back to
the matter at hand. I know what you meant about like kind of the dialogue. Some of the dialogue seemed forced or like it didn't come off natural because they were trying to make a point or something like that, which mm-hmm. wasn't terrible for me. It just. I don't know. One of the things I liked about Black Klansman, I thought that the dialogue in that movie was smooth and I don't know. It just flowed better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it kind of fed into like the grindhousey type feel that this movie kind of lives in. It's not necessarily that, but I feel like that's the type of dialogue that would be used in something like that. So yeah. I didn't pay too much attention to it just based on that alone. I didn't give it that much weight.
I guess they kind of straddled that fence. I wish they would have been one or the other, you know, and been more like it was so drawn out between scenes that you kind of lose it with the dialogue to me. So I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't really think of it as like that grindhouse type style, but it definitely, now that you mentioned it, I could see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, even with the way like the Vietnamese lady over the radio is trying to like convince them, like mm-hmm. that's very grindhouse esque, like, to me,
I like that. That was a good part. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. I didn't not like the movie. Actually, there was a lot of parts in this movie that stuck out that I was like, oh, that was a good part of the movie. I thought the scene towards the end, I'm forgetting the character's name, but where he sees the dead friend, you find out he actually is the one that Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good scene where he sees his friend and the way they did that and like show you what actually happened. I thought that was done well. I thought that, there was a lot of scenes that stick out that I thought were good. But I think it was more the first half. I feel like the first half of the movie drug a little bit. And that's where I think some of this could have been cut out. But as it got going, I think it picked up steam and got better.
Yeah. For me, the second that he steps on that mine and blows up from that point forward, I'm fully fucking invested in this movie.
Yeah, that was the best part, right?
Can I say something, though? When that guy was... Did you guys not see that mine coming? when that guy was kept walking backwards,
I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to be a mine, though.
My brain immediately said, this guy's going to step on a mine because they're out in old Vietnam. There's probably old mines out there. And the way the guy just kept walking backwards, like, why is he walking so far out of their circle? I was like, this dude's going to step on a mine. And why would you be walking backwards like that while you're talking to your friends? After
you know there's a minefield there.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. It stood out as very weird. That's why I knew something was going to happen. I just didn't know necessarily what they were going
to
do there.
Yeah, that's a little lazy to me.
I have a couple gripes like that.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too.
Who's in charge of burying the gold? We're going to dig it down. We're going to dig it down just enough, and we're going to sprinkle some dust, or just a one shovel away from the gold.
Everything in this movie was buried less than a foot deep.
Come on now.
Their buddy, their buddy with his, when they dug up their friend. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get like washed away. In like
You definitely well, would.
They said there was a mudslide there. So a lot of that shit was displaced, even though I do agree that a lot of it probably would be buried deeper than a half inch underground. But I mean, a mudslide did take it out. So there's like, you have to have some suspension of disbelief there. But yeah, the gold. Agree. With how we found the gold was the most problematic thing in this movie for me.
Yeah. What was he taking?
And even more problematic, he never took that shit is more problematic.
Yeah, he did not.
He never did take that shit. Yeah, actually.
No. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, that poor fucking fella.
Yeah. They did shoot him in the leg. Maybe it exited his body.
He just didn't want to tell him. No, that's blood too. That's blood too.
He probably shit himself immediately.
Yeah.
So what were your guys' feelings on them making one of the guys a Trump supporter, even though they never came out and actually said his name, but, you know, with the visuals and everything, like, what are your feelings on that?
I thought it was true to probably what would happen. I would think like an army vet, there'd be one out of the group, I would think. I mean, I don't know if they'd be as vocal or.
Yeah, I felt like it was. The entire movie was obviously forced politically. So you have to kind of put something like that in there. I guess you don't have to, but I think the reason why they did that is because it's a politically focused movie. And rather than just coming off of it as so one-sided, to throw that in there is
to eliminate.
Yeah, just to throw. No, I mean, not even to eliminate, just to throw it in there and kind of even the ground, I guess.
I think I think what it does is it also gives you the opportunity to have that discussion. If one of the characters is a Trump supporter, then it now gives you the opportunity for the other
to address to like talk about address that conflict.
So, I mean, I don't know. And it's believable. I could see like army vets, you know, and it wasn't a big issue for me, really.
No. Yeah. I don't think it would be an issue. I was just saying, like, I thought it was an interesting take and I thought it was really good for the movie to have that in there.
I agree.
Yeah. I think it was a little bit of a level. Like, you know, you throw someone on the other side to kind of bring up that conversation. At least if you're talking about politics or anything, you have to have the conflict, right? At least for what most of the characters are believing in. So, yeah, it worked out.
I got a question. So this movie, the main character, the one that are kind of the hero, the guy that we all follow the most. When he goes back to Vietnam and sees his daughter, he goes and has dinner with this woman that he's like, she says she was a hooker in Vietnam, right?
She says she was called a hooker for hooking up with him, basically.
Oh, so then, yeah, that kind of ruins what I was.
I misread that too. Go ahead. She said, I was a whore.
Yeah, I was a whore.
I was like, and whoa.
Why did this guy keep in contact with a Vietnamese whore that he banged back in Vietnam? Like, he fell in love with her? And how would you know that, like, just because, like, she has a black kid, then you'd be like, well, there's probably a lot of black dudes that banged you. Like, I wouldn't just assume, you know what I mean?
Have you ever seen the movie Dirty Work?
Yeah.
Yes.
He had his nose bitten off by a Saigon whore, and by the end of that movie, he was married to her?
That's true.
So, even if the scenario is the way you remember seeing it, it's still very, very possible.
It's very hard to doubt it after that, actually. I can see that's 100%.
I'm telling you, I struggle with that. I was like
tossing and turning at night.
I'm like, this guy called a hooker and like kept in contact with her and just was like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, I'm gonna go back and get this gold. Maybe you can help me. Like, yeah, dude. She's a prostitute from Vietnam, bro.
Yeah, she said that they basically ostracized her and called her a whore. She was all these things because she slept with an American GI during the war.
Right.
That's what she was saying.
Fair enough. You know, maybe I misheard.
Yeah, I like my version better, but.
Yeah, your version is definitely more entertaining. But
I was like, ooh, what are you? Ooh, yeah.
Great sound effects, by the way.
Yo, what is she, a beaver? What the fuck is... I also thought Paul's son showing up was kind of a strange... He just kind of like is in his room. Like he knew what hotel he was going to and where he was going to be in Vietnam.
Well, he did say he immediately went into his email that he uses the same password for everything.
1, 2, 3, 4
I found that part strange a bit.
A bit lazy.
And then I also, I put the gold bars on here. How one gold bar, the one that he found when he was taking a shit just by digging 2 inches into the ground and then the other ones happened to be below. It seemed weird how they were scattered.
Well, the box broke open. So if you say like the mudslide theory, if it just caught the end of it, it breaks the box and spreads them out, you can make an argument. But
yeah, the box didn't necessarily break open in that spot.
What about the poop gold?
There's no poop gold.
No, the guy still is not taking a shit.
He's to this day not taking a shit. He prides himself on that, actually.
But they weren't enough to really like, you know, I didn't have a negative thought about the movie.
Did you guys ever think that I think I've seen this movie before?
No.
Did it ever pop into your head? No. You guys have you ever seen a Three Kings with George Clooney?
Yeah. Long time.
Where they go back to get gold from Saudi Arabia and they're a band of like four guys that are in the army and they just got done fighting.
It's been so long. I don't even think I know what that movie is.
It is. It hit me. I was like, man, this movie is very similar.
The only thing I remember about that movie is when they shoot a guy and his head pops off. Like it like shoots straight off and like blood spouts. Like there's a scene in that
movie. I don't remember that. I guess I need to watch it again.
Yeah. It stuck out to me. But it's been a while. It's been a long time since
I was watching. I was like, man, this is the plot to Three Kings.
And also City Slickers 2.
Yeah.
But Wes, what did you think about that chicken salesman? I know you're a sales guy. That guy pushing that chicken on him on the boat?
It was high pressure, man.
Do you respect that guy for what he did?
No, he kind of pissed me off a little bit. I was like,
out of here. Did he remind you of the guy from Italy?
Yeah, he did, actually. They went to the same school. They must, like, you know.
I think that you just need to step your fucking game up, to be honest.
What I was thinking was, like, this guy needs to use the old, this chicken's free, man, no money. He would have just offered the chicken for free and then come around and ask for the money afterwards.
Hit him with the hammer. Some money.
Could have closed the deal and got like a fistful of euros maybe out of the
whatever he had laying around in his pockets.
Yeah. And then he goes right to Yelp.
Some money.
No money. 1 star. What did you guys think about the cinematography in this movie? I thought it was an interesting take.
Yeah, that part I liked, actually. I liked a lot of the shots in this. I liked a lot of the, like, the camera kind of panned and used the jungle and used, like, the settings. I think, like, the riverboat scene when they were kind of on that boat, there was some cool shots and just, that part of it I really liked. I thought it was done well.
Yep, I agree. And I also like the fact that they did the grainy kind of 70s style of film when they were doing some of the memory scenes. I thought that was pretty cool to do that, like to do the old film style, to put it into perspective that you're going back in time.
Yeah.
Because obviously the people were the same. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that they mixed like actual history in with this obviously made up story, but I thought it was cool. Like whenever they showed a photo, they would just put it center screen, black background, black framing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just thought it was an interesting take. I enjoyed it. I believe the history mix.
The music was awesome too. Great soundtrack in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention the score. I did like the musical score, especially in the beginning. It stuck out, too. Like, it was like it had a really good, I don't know, like the orchestra really stood out.
Yeah,
like
the pairing to the scenes, it was great. I thought which is the best time, in my opinion, on fucking music. I mean, late 60s, 70s, and there's some great songs to match stuff like that. But it's just a iconic era. And I thought they did a good job with that.
For sure. For sure.
For sure.
What about the addressing of the opioid crisis with making the one guy addicted to oxys?
So I could see why they put it in there, but wasn't the one guy just dumped his pills out, right?
Yeah. And then another guy had them and gave them to him later.
Right. So it didn't seem like anybody was really addicted.
No, it seemed like casual use.
Glossed, you know? Over it.
I mean, I feel like these guys could probably pop a few, drink a couple beers and have a good time and then not be addicted the next day, you know?
I'm not an opiate addict, but I don't think I would have dumped a whole bottle out on the ground.
No. I mean, that's so wasteful.
Seems like fiscally irresponsible.
If they knew the laws today, they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah. I mean, I could at least go into town and sell these for a couple of fucking...
My back could hurt at any time.
Yeah. You never know. You never know nowadays. But the last thing I really had issue with, or that I thought was kind of more funny than anything else, was when he got attacked by the snake walking through the jungle alone. Yeah. I thought that was pretty comical, actually. I'm sure it wasn't meant to be, but also it spreads misinformation because he just tried to suck it out, which is just fucking bullshit. You can't do that. That's like an old wives' tale.
You're just going to numb your mouth, if anything, get blood and shit in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I thought that the other part was funny when he tripped over that tripwire and he's laying and he tumbles down the hill and then he's like got his foot there and it's like a dramatic 2-minute scene of him trying to get the fucking rope off his leg. I was like, what was that for? And then he finally gets the rope off his foot and he's like, ugh. I was like, what? Okay. Yeah. It was a little offbeat to me.
A lot of this movie could have been cut. I mean, I was mad about that when I turned it on. Like, I was like, 2.5 hours. I just was like, I just saw the runtime. And
I agree.
But I'm biased against the long movies.
Unless they're really good.
Unless they're really good. I did like The Irishman, but even that one I felt could have been.
I mean, The Godfather, like, there's movies that can do it, but it's going to take a lot more. Dare I say effort, especially in dialogue and writing and captivating writing to get people to talk together where you're engaged. And this just didn't have it for 2.5 hours.
I agree.
It's a fair statement.
You guys got anything else? Are we ready to score this bitch?
Score it.
All right. I'll go first. I gave it a 3. I thought there was things I liked about it and that I really liked about it. And there was things that I didn't so much like about it, but I didn't find it to be a bad movie. I think if you like, some people are going to really like this if you can get past some of the problems I had with it, or, you know, I definitely think it's too long, but I do think it redeems itself in the end. You know, for the time you invest in the beginning, you get the payoff in the end. It has a good ending, and it's overall, it's well written. It's not a bad movie, but it just wasn't, didn't do enough to really push it to something better in my eyes. But I feel 3 stars right in the middle. I thought it was a good movie. Decent.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I did 3 as well, and I was actually closer, borderline on 2.5, but it was entertaining enough. That's when I feel like a 3 is entertaining, right? You know, you're not like, oh, I fucking hate it, and I'm turning it off. It's enough to get you to watch through. Like I said, enjoy some of the music, enjoy some of the fun. I laughed at some scenes. Some of the scenes I probably wasn't supposed to laugh at. Some of the, like, the violent scenes and the shootout scenes were pretty funny to me, just because they were not, I don't know, they didn't really fit with the movie. I don't know. A lot of this, like, the combat scenes and like, the people getting killed and stuff, they just stuck out as weird. I mean, it's not weird for the setting, but just weird the way they were, like, the lack of special effects or just, like a B-horror movie. So, yeah, I had a good time with it, though, but it was entertaining enough. So I gave it a 3 as well.
All right, well, I'm going to be the one going against the grain here, I guess. I gave it 4 stars. A lot of things you had problems with, I actually thought added to the character of the movie. I felt like they were straddling that grindhouse type feel, and I really enjoyed the struggle that they had and the weirdness, and because I feel like that's more authentic than a lot of the other war movies where everyone's just like, they're just so one-dimensional characters. They're like, oh, there's actual like conflict these guys have with the things they did and their country and what they're doing and what really matters to them. And I really didn't even have an issue with the time. It flew by for me. I do agree it did drag a little bit up until the landmine scene, but from that point forward, I'm 100% invested in this fucking movie from that point forward. And I don't think it's 100% realistic, but I also don't think it's supposed to be.
No.
In any way. I think it's kind of like, it's almost like a comic book mixed with like a grindhouse movie, but also there's realism in the characters. So that's my take on it. I went 4 stars.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Well, there's our review, guys. Adrian, I believe this is the part of the show where you try to stump us.
I think the time is coming near. The facts aren't always crystal clear. Oh, it's time that we illuminate to the max and check the fucking facts. Check the
facts. All right, guys. It is time for the facts check section. Are you motherfuckers ready?
I'm fucking ready, bro.
You ready?
It's now my new favorite section. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's get to the first fact check for you guys. This is multiple choice, and I will be calling on one of you after the question. So this film was originally about 4 aging white vets heading back to Vietnam with Oliver Stone set to direct it under a different title. What was the original title?
3 Kings, I told you.
You are disqualified.
No, fuck.
Oh, never mind. You're back in. Oh, you apologize. Okay. Here are the choices. A, The Fallen Brother. B, The Last Tour. C, City Slickers 3, Going Back to Vietnam to Find Curly's Gold.
Directed by Oliver Stone.
Yes. D, The Treasure of the Chiang Mai. And Wes, we're going to go to you first. What was the original title of this film?
I know what D was. I know what C was, but I might need A and B again.
A is The Fallen Brother. B is The Last Tour.
Oh, this is a tough one. Let's see. I'm going to.
He said C. He said C.
C. No, okay. City Slickers 3. No.
He said C.
What I'm doing is I'm going to try to think about what Oliver Stone's name would be tied to.
Good luck.
Oliver Stone.
Not about Oliver Stone, but you thinking.
Oliver Stone directs City Slickers 2. Oliver Stone. I'm going to go with The Fallen Brother. Is that A?
So A, The Fallen Brother?
Yeah, A. A, The Fallen
Brother. All right. Brother. Sounds good. Matt?
I'm glad you did that, because I'm going with B, the winning answer.
B, which is The Last Tour?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, are you guys ready for this?
Ready.
Matt, you're 100% correct. B,
yeah!
Was the original title of this film. So that's 1 point for you.
God, all right. I wish I could force feed you right now.
All right, we have fact number 2. The 5 Bloods that were seen throughout the movie in present-day scenes shared the same name as what popular African-American vocal group? A, The Pips. B, The Wu-Tang Clan. C, The Supremes. Or D, The Temptations. And Matt, we're going to go to you on this.
Wu-Tang Clan.
So you believe all the characters in this movie shared the same names as the Wu-Tang Clan, just to be clear.
I don't remember the RZA. But nope, he's already locked in.
Oh, come on now. We gave you a C.
I don't know the RZA's real name, maybe.
Well, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
He wasn't in the Wu-Tang Clan.
Otis. And Otis was in there, right? Isn't Curtis 50 Cent Jackson have Otis?
I think Curtis is his name.
Isn't there an Otis?
I do not know.
Anyway. The actual answer I'm going with is A.
A, The Pips?
The Pips. I don't even know who that is, but that's hilarious.
Okay. Well, that's your final answer. Now, Wes, we're going to move it on to you.
He what was Googling it.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. Sorry. I was looking at a text message.
He took that so seriously.
Well, I didn't think about
it. Serious shit.
I was looking at my phone, but I was not looking up the answer. In fact, I'll prove it to you by probably getting this wrong.
Recount.
I think the Supremes, man, I'm so bad at this old school music stuff. Wasn't the Supremes a girl group?
I'm not answering any of your goddamn questions. Yeah, you need to answer my goddamn question. Which answer do you want to give?
Matt said the Pips. I want to go with, can I hear the answers again, please?
A, the Pips, B, the Wu-Tang Clan, C, the Supremes, or D, the Temptations?
I'm going to go with the Temptations.
So D?
D.
So D.
Yeah. So D.
So D. Okay. Well, you are correct with D. Fuck! The Temptations share the same names as all the characters.
You don't know what the Pips go by.
Congratulations.
Was the Supremes a girl group?
I don't fucking know. I didn't look this shit up. I put wrong answers. I found wrong answers to put in with the right one. All right. So let's move on. Let's move past this. So the last question, the final one. You each are 1-1 here. So this could be for bragging rights.
Tiebreaker.
There were talks with other actors to be cast as the lead characters that ultimately fell through due to scheduling conflicts. Which one of these actors was not set to star in To Five Bloods originally? A, Danny Glover. B, Samuel L. Jackson. C, Denzel Washington. Or D, David Johnson Washington. And we're going to go to Wes.
I'm going to go with, I don't think Samuel L. Jackson was going to be in this movie.
So your answer is B, Samuel L. Jackson?
That's correct.
I think Samuel L. Jackson was the first pick.
Are you locking that in?
I'm locking that in.
All right, you're locked in. Matt, we're going to go to you now.
I'm going
to
go with D.
D?
Yeah.
John David Washington?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the correct answer is A. You were both wrong. Danny Glover was not considered for this movie.
How dare Spike Lee?
I know, right?
I feel like Danny Glover would have been good in this movie.
Yeah. But he was actually getting too old for this shit, so he was not interested. And that's been Fact Checks.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Job. Nicely done.
Nicely done, Adrian.
I thank you.
There you go. We've got our facts checked. We've got our facts checked and our D's crossed.
We're actually not crossing our D's. For
yeah.
Make this specifically clear.
We did fax our checks. All right. So we're moving on to everyone's favorite segment, the bloodshed portion of this podcast. And what we are doing is the Battle Royale. Matt's going to introduce this month's new Battle Royale since he is the judge, as we've jumped around and now for the, what are we on, the third round of this?
I think the fourth. We've all been the judge once. Right?
Yes.
I've done it twice.
So this might be the fifth.
Yeah, I guess. Well, depending on how you count the rounds, I meant like we're on our second go around.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't know either. Doesn't matter. So, Matt, this is your chance. You're going to give us our first criteria for the Battle Royale. And for those listening at home, if you're not already familiar, what we do here is we battle for force feeds, which we can use in the randomizer to force a movie that we suggest without having to take the randomizer suggestions. And it's Matt's turn to judge. So me and Adrian will be battle royaling at the end of this month. But Matt, go ahead and give us our criteria for the movies that you want us to submit.
Well, this is going to be a simple one. I'm going to keep it simple for you guys here. I want something, especially due to these times, everyone's cooped up, they're fucking aggravated, they're mad. I want to laugh. I want the funniest movie you guys can provide. There's a caveat. If you didn't choose me to win the last force feed, negative points. The last time that you had a force feed, if you didn't choose me to win it, minus points.
Okay.
So it's a level playing field.
Thinking back,
both of you guys didn't. Pretty upset about it.
We're both minus points.
Yeah, I just want you to feel it.
Okay.
That's feels bad.
So
okay.
Sucks.
Feels bad.
Maybe like apologies.
I don't like it. I'm very sorry. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
But if our movie is so funny, it will trump. Can this be something you've seen?
No,
before?
I want to see something that is new, completely new. I prefer it that you guys have not seen it as well.
Okay.
So I want something that you could pick that you guys have not seen, that I have not seen. That is, and we're just going to go, we're going to go strictly off of what is the funniest movie.
Do we lose points if you happen to have seen it and we suggest it? I don't know.
I think we can probably privately send Matt a message asking him if he's seen a movie, and that way he can sort that out.
Oh, Do you guys talk to each other like not on this podcast?
Yeah, we have a separate text thread.
Do some light sexting from time to time. But that's about it.
All right.
So I think your feeble brain scan on that. Yeah.
All right. I am up for the challenge, and I want you to know that I am very confident I will do a lot better than Wes because he is not good at this.
He's got a good point, Wes.
I disagree.
Also a fair point.
That's not a point. That's just an opinion, which Wes is very good at throwing around.
As I am an elitist.
He's an elitist. He doesn't care about the 99%.
Of which I'm a part of.
Exactly. He fucking doesn't even care about himself. He just wants that 1% to do great.
Irony is pretty funny.
Well, here you go. We're ready for the next battle royale, or we will be ready next week. Next week, Matt will submit or give us another criteria.
I will give you one more criteria. Yeah.
But we will submit our movies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So next week we'll have movies for you, Matt. Then you will throw in another random criteria and then another one the week after that. And then we'll battle. All right, guys. Well, did anybody do any extra credits homework? Watch some extra credits than what was required?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Adrian, I'll call on you then.
All right. I watched a movie called Elizabeth Harvest. It's a 2018 film I found on Netflix. And it stars Abby Lee, Kieran Hines, and a bunch of other names I can't really pronounce, but it was an interesting movie. The gist of it is this guy is cloning this girl who he's taking for his wife, and she keeps finding every clone, finds the cloning station, and then he has to murder her until one time he is unable to murder her, and shit gets real.
Wow.
I gave it 3.5 stars. Definitely worth a watch.
Where did you find
this? Pretty far out, man.
This is Netflix. It was somehow suggested to me, maybe because I have a lot of like sci-fi weird fucking movies like that on my
watch. Were you Googling on how to maybe murder someone?
If I did, it was in incognito mode, so there'd be no record of that.
Okay.
I know my way around the webs. I also started rewatching a series, Man Seeking Woman. Are you guys familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That sounds super familiar, but fill me in.
Jay Baruchel and Eric Andre star in it.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, I really enjoyed that, actually.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I started watching it from the beginning, and it still holds up.
Yeah, it's funny. That is a funny show.
It's on Hulu if you want to start rewatching it or watch it for the first time you haven't seen it. It's funny. An exaggerated look at the dating world. Good yeah. stuff.
How many seasons are there now? Because I think I was keeping up while it was on FX, and then I didn't know when new ones were coming out.
There were 3 total seasons from 2015 to 2017. So that was it. After the third one, it was done. So you probably saw them all, most likely.
I might have.
I think I did. Oh, worth another watch.
Yeah, check it out. And lastly, I started watching Immigration Nation, the 2020 docuseries on Netflix. This is a hard watch, guys. I want you to know, if you do decide to watch it, it's not fun. And so far I've almost gotten through one episode after a couple sittings, just because I'm just like, I need to take a fucking break from this. This is not good, but I guess the Homeland Security Department tried to stop this from coming out, which I can see why. So that's what allured me to watch it. Not fun, man.
It's called Immigration.
Immigration Nation.
Immigration Nation.
Yeah, and they basically follow around a bunch of ICE agents around documentary style and what they do day to day. And it's a tough watch. Tough watch.
Where can we find that one?
Netflix. As a new Netflix series just recently came out. A lot of not so fun stuff on that. So I can't say I recommend it, but if you're interested in that type of shit, feel free.
Like if you watched that plus the Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Oh, yeah. Great pairing. Like if you just want to be discontent about the world in general, it's a great thing to do.
If you'd like an accurate depiction.
I mean, at one point they're riding in the car with one of the ICE agents and he gets a walkie from his supervisor. Say, hey, you need to start fucking bringing in more random fucking people. You can't be letting anyone go. And he's like, okay. He's like, he knows you guys are here. That's a stupid fucking thing to say.
Wow.
Jesus. It's going to take a couple of beers to watch that one, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not fun. But anyways, that's all I got for this week.
Right on. Well, I did. I went back and revisited an old movie that I held extremely high as a kid. I went back and watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's on Netflix. I think actually all the Monty Python movies are back on Netflix right now. So took advantage of that. Watched one of my old favorites. If you're not familiar, it's 1975. Terry Gilliam, Terry Jones, the Monty Python sketch comedy. It basically changed the landscape of comedies as we know it today. Watching it again, I guess, because, you know, I think like with all comedies, you know, once you kind of know the jokes are coming and things like that, it's not as funny as it was, but I decided to leave my 5-star rating that I had originally given it because holds such a high place in my heart that I said, nah, you know what? I'm being too harsh on this thing. And it is funny. You just got to remember for the time, but if you've never seen it, then absolutely watch it. And I think you'll definitely find some things that are funny in there. It's silly. It's a stream of consciousness. It's off the wall. It's like the guys aren't riding around on horses the whole time. They're just skipping. And there's a guy behind them clopping coconuts together. The whole thing is just,
it's goofy.
It's goofy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if without movies like that, you wouldn't have any of the,
you gotta take the first movies. Step. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't have any of that stuff. So, I mean,
you break that third wall and you do all that fun stuff that sets the pace for everybody else in the future. And it's hard. It's always hard. I mean, you look at like a Charlie Chaplin movie and people used to love them, you know, and he was huge. Yeah. He was a massive star. Charlie Chaplin. You watch Charlie Chaplin movie today and it's like, I don't get it. Right. Because you're so overloaded with everything that we have now, it's impossible to be able to judge that correctly.
And I also think he kind of looks way too much like Hitler to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was part of the comedy.
No, it wasn't.
bad look.
Bad PR. Imagine coming up with this unique look for your comedy and then someone just steals it and genocides a bunch of motherfuckers while wearing it.
Yikes.
They didn't have PR agents back in the day. They would tell them like, hey man, different mustache style. That one is not in. That one is not in right now.
There's a new look. I think you should trim the sides off.
Yeah. Bad choice, man. No Twitter, nothing.
Powerful look.
But it was definitely nostalgic to watch it again. I didn't laugh as hard as I remember laughing as a kid, but you know what? Yeah, it's a great movie. Watch it again. It's on Netflix. Check it out. And then another comedy that I watched, which is not a movie, but it's a series that's on Netflix. And I'm late to the party on this one, but it's called F is for Family. If you guys watched
that? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not.
Animated show.
Bill Burr, right?
Yeah, Bill Burr is the main character. And it seems like it's kind of autobiographical about his story growing up. The youngest or the middle kid is named Bill. And it's about growing up in the 1970s or so. And his dad is, you know, this like Vietnam vet and he's, you know, angry at the world and
very topical for this movie.
Yeah. It actually fit in good with this movie, but I watched all three seasons during the week. That was the only thing I could find myself putting on. Every time I went to Netflix or Hulu or anything, I was just like, I want to watch another episode of that. It's surprisingly wholesome for how unwholesome that show is. Like I mean, it's vulgar. They cuss. There's nudity. Like everything that you want in an animated comedy. But it surprisingly has like a heart to it. I really, really like that show. So I would
I'd recommend that out.
Yeah, it's hilarious too. It's really funny. There's, I think, three seasons, and I blew through all three seasons pretty quick. It's funny. Really good show. And that's all I watched, Matt. I know you were busy studying some documentaries this week. As you were looking to do a new segment, and let's just get right into it.
Hello there. I was just thinking about how interesting it is that some of the most extraordinary stories are not fiction at all. I'm, of course, not talking about the Daily News. No, that would be fucking stupid. I'm, of course, talking about the documentary, my dear boy. Will you join me for a segment we call Docu-Mattery?
Welcome.
Well, so nice to be here.
Wow.
That that British guy sounds really rich and really, you know, just well educated.
It's really nice to be in your library.
Yeah.
It's nice to be in your library with many leather bound books. You have that ladder so we can get to the books up in the higher shelves of the library. This is really nice, Matt.
Best ones. I put those up there. Yeah.
Oh. There's a pipe.
Well, the documentary I picked this week is actually not suitable for that intro.
So even better.
I watched this documentary. It's called Finders Keepers. Have you heard about this?
Never.
I have not.
Okay. So let me break this down. This is down in the South. I don't know exactly. They may have said it, but it's got to be deep South Texas, deep South state. And there's this guy. He lives for a wealthy family. And as he's growing up, he's got a hard-nosed dad that is extremely successful monetarily wise, and a big family. And he's always trying to live up to his dad's expectations and always trying to, you know, he wants respect from his dad. And in one point of the time, they end up going on a plane. His dad's got a plane. His dad's flying the plane. And they're going out in some wild weather. They end up crashing the plane. And the guy's father dies, and he ends up losing his leg in the accident. So he gets his leg amputated, but when he goes to get his leg amputated, he says, I want to keep the leg. I want to keep my leg. So he ends up keeping his leg. They send it to him in the mail, just wrapped in like paper and shit, like, here's your fucking leg. He says when he gets it, it's like there's still ligaments hanging out of it, everything. There's no caution at all. They send him his leg. So he's got his leg. He ends up falling in some drug trouble and in all money trouble and all that. And he has this storage locker. So he's got all his things in this storage locker and he puts his leg inside of this smoker grill. So he puts his leg in the smoker grill and puts that inside. Dude, this is true story. This is a documentary.
Did you watch this on YouTube or Reddit?
This is on Amazon Prime. Put his chopped off leg wrapped up inside this grill inside of a storage container. And he ends up defaulting on the payments. His parents won't, or his mom was left over, won't pay for it anymore. They end up doing an auction. This dude, Shannon Wisnat, buys this grill, right? So he takes this grill home.
Is that the dude from Storage Wars?
The dude, he might as well be. This guy is a fucking character. So this guy buys this grill and he takes it home and he finds out and he opens it up and he's like, what the fuck is this? You know, and he opens up the package and he's like, there's a fucking human leg in here. So he calls the cops. He does call the cops and say, look, I found a human leg. You know, like I found a human leg in here. He realizes that this is such a weird story that he's going to capitalize on it. And he's always wanted to be famous. So Shannon Wisnat, he decides that he's going to take this leg and it's going to be his fucking ticket to stardom. And this dude is a fucking character. So he takes this leg. He tries to start marketing it, saying like, you want to come see the barbecue leg? Come to my house. $1 for kids, $3 for adults. You come by my house, you can see the leg.
So he's doing a freak show.
He's doing a freak show. He's digging everything he can. And this dude, so he's doing that. He's arguing over. And then eventually the guy finds out. They go back and forth like, dude, I want my leg back. That's why I had it. It's my leg, right? So the owner of the leg, technically, is fighting for his leg back. He's trying to get his own leg
back.
The birthright owner of the leg is trying to get his leg back. And they go through this massive legal fight while this other guy is just trying to get fame out of it. And there's some fucking funny ass interviews where the guy's like, well, telling him like, yeah, I met up with him and I think that we can do some split custody of the leg, because he really thinks it's this big fucking broad like moneymaker that people are going to come by and get this leg. So he's fighting him throughout. And the other guy's, he's got drug problems. He's not doing well either. So you got these two characters going back and forth fighting over this amputee leg. And then they end up going on like this. The Shannon Wisnat guy, he ended up going on Jerry Springer for an episode. He's just a fame-seeking, attention whore kind of guy. And the other guy's getting over his drug, trying to get back with his family and get right with his family and fighting over this leg back and forth. It's fucking hilariously entertaining.
This immediately reminded me of Tiger King.
Yeah.
Is this like a Tiger King. I mean,
kind of.
Style.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you could say like in the same breath as that, but it's a very unique kind of thing. Like it was apparently it was a bigger story. Looking at 2004, so 2004 is when this took place, I guess. And the two characters fighting back and forth is fucking hilarious. And the Shannon Wisnant guy, man, that guy is a fucking character. If he has everything to make it to be famous. Just the wrong path to do it.
Yeah, he's got a leg. Hilarious. He's got a smoker. He's got everything you need to be famous.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's got a leg up on everybody else.
Well, that joke is made in the movie. So if you guys have not seen this.
It should be said Wes has a stake in this movie as well. He, you know, just so there's no one calling him out on it, Wes is he's a donator to the movie. And he may have made some of the jokes in the movie. So
and limbs. I donated some of the limbs as well.
He may have donated a limb. And so we do have
this financial ties. Maybe cost me an arm and a leg, guys.
I'm sure that was in the movie as well.
Yeah. Well, the guy's like, oh, I got leg. People are going to want to see this. There's a, you know, juice leaking out of it. They're going to want to come see this.
Totally reasonable thing to say.
Yeah. So if
hey mom, can we go check out the leg with juice hanging out of it?
Yeah. Actually, what he says, he doesn't say juice. He says cholesterol. There's cholesterol dripping out of it. People want to see this.
He's like selling breakfast burritos with some of the fucking meat in it.
Yeah. He's like, hey, come on back here for $20,000. I'll make you a little bit of the leg on a sandwich if you want. Yeah.
I'll give you some of the good part. Right here at the top.
Low cholesterol part, if you will. Yeah. Can't do that much leaking on.
What are you doing? Keto? You doing keto? This is fine. I'll get you a vegetarian. Yeah, well, not vegetarian, but I'll get you keto.
So I don't know. I don't really want to ruin it. I think it's worth a watch. It's worth a watch for everybody. It's super entertaining. It's a funny ass documentary. And
I'm going to watch it now. Because of you.
No, that was great. So I won't ruin the end. They go through a legal battle over the leg.
And, what's the name of it again?
It's called Finders Keepers.
Name's funnier now that I've heard the story. Yeah.
That is an actual rule, apparently. It's a real law. So Finders Keepers law is the point that he sues him over to try to get his leg back, in quotations.
That's great.
As they're fighting over this amputee leg.
From the famous Supreme Court case, Jeremy Stevens, the second grader who found
a marble in the sandpit.
We find it is Finders Keepers, ruling in favor of Jeremy.
So yeah, great, great documentary, extremely funny. It touches heart too. It's like it's got the guys, people with their personal problems on both sides, and they're delving into that a little bit. But the hilarity of the story is takes place. It's. You know, that's the focus.
Does it touch leg as well?
No.
Well, I might not see it then.
I love it. All right, Matt. Excellent first segment. I loved it. I think we're both going to check out that movie. We'll report back. Sounds good.
You're welcome.
Well, there you go, guys. I mean, I guess this is the part of the show where we should all sit and think about what we did, you know, and maybe, you know, think back about some of the things you did. You probably did some shitty things. Especially tonight, probably said some things that weren't very on brand or maybe kind of just nasty in particular. You know, I know I definitely regret doing pretty much this whole entire show.
I regret you doing this show too.
So I definitely worry. Yeah. So I think it's time that we need to look to our masters and say we're sorry and repent to the randomizer, guys.
I think you're right.
And Adrian, since you agree with me so much, I'm going to let you go right ahead and be the first.
All right, let me clear my throat first.
Let me kill my throat.
Okay. So I am submitting the 2020 film Project Power on Netflix. This is starring Jamie Foxx, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Dominique Fishback. The synopsis is an ex-soldier, a teen, and a cop collide in New Orleans as they hunt for the source behind a dangerous new pill that grants users temporary superpowers.
Ooh.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I've seen the previews for that. I forgot the name of it when you mentioned it, but...
Well, hopefully you remember it now, because I've said
I
it.
Do. I have it typed down. It's easy.
Okay, good.
Matt, do you have something you want to Yes. Give us an apology for your poor behavior.
I apologize profusely for my behavior, but I don't think it's enough. So I will submit The Death of Stalin. This is a 2017 movie on Netflix with Steve Buscemi, Simon Russell Beale, Patty Considine. I don't know that name, so I apologize if I didn't pronounce that right. And the synopsis is the death of a Russian dictator Joseph Stalin throws the Soviet Union into comic chaos as his ambition, but addled ministers maneuver to succeed him. I don't think I read that right.
No, you did. That sounds perfect.
Okay. Thank you.
Made perfect sense to me.
Yep. Looks like a dark kind of comedy, though. So there you go.
All right. That leaves me. I'm going to suggest Martin Scorsese's 1985 film, After Hours. This is when it's after midnight in New York City, you don't have to look for love, laughter, and trouble. They'll all find you. An ordinary word processor has the worst night of his life after he agrees to visit a girl in Soho whom he met that evening at a coffee shop.
I fucking hate it when they put taglines in the description of movies. It's like, this isn't a fucking billboard, bro.
I read about half that and then I realized I shouldn't have been reading it, but I just figured, hey, I'll power through it.
It's there now and we have no way to edit it out. So. Yeah,
there's no. We're fucked. Oh my God. Fuck. So this is, if this gets picked, you're on your own because this is streaming on HBO somehow. I don't know how you find it on.
We'll figure out the day if it gets picked because it might change.
I looked into it and you can get a 7-day free trial of HBO Max. So I may have to use that up on the first movie that gets picked from HBO on here.
All right, guys, we've got a pretty large randomizer here. Big Time Adolescence from Adrian on Hulu.
Nice.
All right. Well, it's on Hulu. We don't have to worry about... look at that, Adrian. You were one spot away from force feeding something.
I would have force fed Big Time Adolescence, so it's fine.
All right.
That doesn't sound right. I don't think you should force feed anything with adolescence.
It's not a literal title, Matt, so I don't think you have to worry.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's on Hulu. We can all find that pretty easily, and I'm glad that if you're at home, listen to this, follow along, watch the movie, and you can come back next week and hear our take. Even send in your take, email us after you watched it. Let us know. But that's the show, guys. I guess that leaves nothing else. Nothing but plugs.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, follow us at Twitter. You can follow us at Healthy. I forgot the regular
one. Healthy Podcast.
At Healthy_stream on Twitter. Send in your reviews, send in your thoughts, send in your positive, negative comments, anything you want. We don't care. Just talk to us, please. We're begging for attention. You can do that at healthystreampodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me and see what I'm watching other than our required viewings, or every once in a while I'll throw a little review or a nice word or a bad word, depending on the movie. On Letterboxd, you can follow that. I'm at Nice Marmot with a zero, NICEMARM0T. Adrian, where can we find you?
You can find me sitting on the block or on Letterboxd at Anna Swideshoot. It's pronounced exactly how I said it. And if you can't type that shit out for some reason, go to our show notes. You can find a link to all of our Letterboxd, all of our emails, or at least the ones for the show, all of our Twitter accounts, guaranteed, and a list of everything in the randomizer as of this episode. Matt, what you got?
You're welcome. Yeah, goes to 11, all spelled out, all regular English style. Hit us up. Send us hate old mail. English? Yeah, no, old English.
Okay.
Find the font that does that, or you will not find me.
Very elusive.
Well, there it is, guys. There's another episode 21. That's episode 21. That means we can drink legally. The show can.
Yeah.
We've been drinking.
And we plan on the show drinking from this point forward.
Fucked up. Call our moms. We'll be out in 20 minutes.
Matt, you say goodbye right now or I'm calling your mom.
Yeah, bye.
JK, I'm calling your mom anyways.
Bye.
What in the flying dick suck are you doing?